Keep me in prayer this morning that I stay focused on what God has for you this morning. And I really believe He has a word this morning for us. There are so many words in the English language. You agree? So many words. There's words that have meaning that have other words that have meaning and so on and so forth. And one word can mean many different things. You know, and if you scan the entire vocabulary, every word in the English language, what word would you think is the greatest word in your opinion? Just throw some stuff at me. Let me hear it. What's the greatest word that you can think of that would have the most impact? Food. Hey, I wouldn't disagree with that. I like food too. Anything else?
Love.
That's good. That's good. Any other word? Compassion. Man, those are all awesome words, man. I mean, they have so much impact in our lives. You know, the biggest problem that we face, especially in America, is that we tend to generalize a word or term. And when we generalize it, it loses its fullness of the meaning. You take love, for example. You know, what type of love? You know, we love God. We love our spouses. We love our children. You know, we love food. But they all have different variations of what they mean. And so this morning, I want to talk about a word that really has so many times been generalized, and that's grace. Grace has so many variations, so many different meanings that you can look at and you can see how it operates in your life if you just recognize it. Now, grace comes out of love and mercy. God's love and mercy for us is grace. That's what's produced out of that. Grace is the greatest expression of God's love for His people. You can say, well, God loves you, but what does that mean? People can ask, what does it mean? How do I know that He loves me? Well, to see it in action is the grace that He has for us. And today I'm going to talk about the different types of grace that we see in our lives. This is not exhaustive in everything, but these are just a few things that I have seen and recognized in my life and what I have studied and looked into to recognize, to go, you know, I've generalized grace a lot of times. You know, I'm guilty of that too. I'm in the same boat as you guys. You know, I take a term and I just apply it overall in a broad spectrum. Grace. So there's different types of grace. And today I want to point out and show you how to recognize the magnitude of His grace. He's got such a great magnitude of grace that we don't often see it as that. And so I want to be able to point out the varying kinds of grace and how He pours it out on us daily. In John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and it says, "And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." In the NIV version, it says, "Out of His fullness we have all received grace in the place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Did you hear that? In the fullness we have received grace in the place of grace that was already given. So there's different types of grace. He has already given us grace, but there is more grace that we have to recognize and see in our lives. You need it. We cannot live without His grace. It was purchased with a price that we cannot pay for. There's nothing we can do to deserve it. You've heard this a million times. You know, grace is an unmerited favor. You know, you can't earn it. You just have to receive it. It only ever comes by means of a gift. And when you receive it, you will immediately realize how much you need it and needed it all along, and you wonder how you could ever have done without it. In this world, in a fallen creation, so many selfish people, so many lost people, fearful, rebellious. That's the one thing that they need. And I can put us in that category too. Not just the lost, not just the sinners, but us. We need grace. You can only give grace to somebody if you first received it. Now, to understand grace, you have to be able to love before you can give grace. Like I said earlier, love and mercy is what produce grace. That is love and expression. If you don't like somebody in your life, you're not going to show them very much grace, are you? You sit there and you just decide, I don't like this person. I'm not, no. They've done something to me. I'm not going to be their friend anymore. I'm not going to be your friend anymore, Dustin. You hurt my feelings. But no, I love Dustin. He hadn't done anything to me, just so you know. I looked at him and he looked so good looking there, you know. Handsome fella. I like picking on people. You know, I'm giving Jeff a break. You're welcome, Jeff. I love you. But no, because I love Dustin, even if he did do something, I want to have grace. I want to extend grace to him and not use that against him and hold it over his head that, hey, you know what? All's forgiven. I forgive you. You know, nothing's gonna hold us back from being able to have a friendship, and I'll do whatever I can to help you. And I would. I would do whatever I could to help anybody here because I love you. Now, have I always agreed with everybody here? No. Maybe. No, I haven't. Do I agree with anybody, Jeff? Okay, thank you. But there's grace, right? Even though I'm right, there's grace. Even though sometimes I think I'm right and I'm wrong, grace is extended to me. So I have to receive it also because I've hurt people. I've messed up. I've made mistakes. Not only just with people, but with God. And so God extends grace to me. It is overused and underdefined. Grace is the most overused word in the church. And I'm afraid that we all use these theological, beautiful words without knowing what we're saying so many times. And so you might think, okay, Paul defined it, you know, as the unmerited favor of God. But it doesn't stop there. It goes beyond just the unmerited favor. You know, that we have to be able to operate in grace and be able to see the things that we haven't seen before in our life. Sometimes people might have it as, oh, that's just something good that happened to me, or that's a coincidence that turned out in my favor, or I got money that I wasn't expecting. That's all part of grace. In Matthew 5:45, and in this translation, I'm not sure what it is, but and exactly where to find it. But so many times we have used this scripture. You know, it says that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends a rain on the just and the unjust. So many times we've looked at this verse and going, okay, well, God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. You know, we're always going to have problems. You know, we're going to deal with things. And that's why we look at that so many times. But if you look at the first part of that, that's not at all what he's saying. He's saying, hey, you know what? I give grace to everybody. And in this translation, so that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For his Son gives light to the evil and the good. He causes the sun to come up on every one of us, and he sends the rain on the upright man and the sinner alike. Now, the rain is not necessarily a bad day. The rain could be something to cause advancement and flourishment into their life. So many times we look at the rain, oh, God sends the rain. Oh, it's such a bad day, you know, on everybody, on the just and unjust alike. And we try to justify that. But he's saying, my Son will you know, the light from the sun is going to be on each and every person, and I will cause flourishment and advancement in everybody, regardless. Why? Because of His grace. Common grace is the first thing that we often generalize as what grace is. God loves everyone. So there is a common grace that He gives to all the people, whether they acknowledge Him or not. He gives everyone the light of day, another day. He protects them from the, you know, so many times the enemy wants to kill each and every one of us, whether we're Christians or not. He wants the sinners in hell just like anyone else. Now, He attacks us even more because He wants us to stumble. But He keeps those that are in sin, keeps them in that, so that way they don't come to the light. And so God has grace on each and every one of us because He loves us. And so He wants each person to have the opportunity to have that next day, to have the good things in life. You know, so many of these millionaires and billionaires, I don't know where they walk personally with Jesus Christ. They don't proclaim to be Christians. But you know what? They still have success. That's because of God's grace. You know, God's grace is for everybody. The second thing is His saving or redeeming grace. Now, this one everyone knows. I'm saved by grace, right? God only saves us through His grace, but He welcomes us. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong line. For it is by grace, in Ephesians 2:8, that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. By His saving grace, God has paid the ransom for everybody who will receive the gift of salvation. That alone is amazing and overwhelming. That's grace. That everyone not only has the opportunity to live, to be on this earth and to live their life, whether it's for Him or not, but to have the opportunity to be saved through grace and be accepted into relationship with Jesus Christ. So the first type of grace is common grace. The second type of grace is the saving grace or redeeming grace. Now, within the saving grace, there's kind of a subcategory, I guess I could say, and that's the grace of acceptance. So God has, by His grace, saved you, but He has also accepted you. God not only saves us, but He welcomes us into a relationship with Him. So God's not happy just saving you, but He wants to have a relationship with you, a father and child relationship. That's the way the Word describes it, is that we are the children of God. And so because of His saving grace, it doesn't stop there, that He accepts us and wants us to be part of His family. He wants to be our Father. So you have common grace, saving grace, and the grace of acceptance, which falls within the saving grace. And so because He adopts us, we now have access to the Father. You know, if you're an orphan, you don't have access to a father. That's why it's so important that we are accepted into that relationship. A parent isn't automatically put on them, okay, you have to adopt this child. It is their choice to adopt that certain child and accept that child into their family. It's not just shoved on them, oh, well, you have to take this person. They do it because they love and they want to accept somebody new into their family. That's the same way God sees us. He adopts us into His family because He loves us and He wants us to be able to come sit on His lap. Tell Him our concerns, our fears, our worries. And He can tell us it's going to be okay. You know, because how many times when you were a kid that you know, if you had your parents when you were a kid that, when your dad said, hey, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. That's you went, okay. Because your parents protect you. They have protected you. They will continue to protect you. And so because of that, they will do whatever they can. Now, God can do so much more than what my earthly father can do. But because of that father-child relationship, I have access and can come to him, and he can say, I'll take care of you, and I will make sure that everything's okay. You just follow me and do what I ask you to do. You know, in the military, it's the same way. You do what you're asked to do, because otherwise you get yourself in trouble. Not just with them, but you can get yourself in trouble with whatever mission that you might be on. So that's why it's important that we follow the instructions that Christ gives us. We can't let fear keep us from doing that. Third is sanctifying grace. Now, what is sanctification? First, you have been redeemed, and then you are sanctified. Sanctification is the process in which we become more like Him. There is power in God's grace, and immediately after we're saved, it goes to work to purify and sanctify us. You play a part in your purification through your obedience. But you ultimately have to count on His sanctifying grace and know that He who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. And that's in Philippians 1:6. That sanctifying grace, to know that He will complete the work that He started in you. So it's not good enough that He's just our Father, but He wants that relationship, and He wants us to become purified because of our obedience. He wants us to grow closer to Him, to hear His voice clear. You know, because how many have experienced a time in your life when you think you've heard from God, but you're not sure if that was Him or not? Show your hands. So many times we've been through that. But as you've grown, there has been times where you know, hey, I'm recognizing His voice. I recognize it. I know His voice, and I'm going to follow it. And so I'm going to be obedient to what He's telling me to do. I've said before that sometimes things aren't necessarily a sin biblically, but God wants sometimes things to be eliminated out of our life because it could lead to sin. I've taught on that before. Sin crouches at the door. And it's there waiting to find those moments of weakness and opportunities to come in. And so because we need to be obedient, and God says, I want this out of your life, I want you to do this. And because of our obedience, that is part of the sanctification, that we're purifying ourselves. Sometimes He's trying to eliminate something before it becomes a problem. I'd be able to like to go through that in life, that things are eliminated before it becomes a problem. But because I mess up and I don't often listen and I don't heed His voice, there's consequences that I have to go through some things sometimes, but God's grace is still there, even when we mess up. And so in the saving grace, the salvation, and the sanctification, there's the grace of forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. Because even when we're in the family, we might still mess up. And so it's not just, okay, I've accepted you, I've saved you, I've accepted you, I'm purifying you. Oh, you messed up. No. You had your shot. You had your shot. You messed up. You blew it. That's not grace, is it? God says, just come back. Come back to me. I forgive you. You tell me, ask for forgiveness, confess your sins. And because of my grace, you keep going. Thank God for His grace, because I still mess up sometimes. So it's not just a general term, grace. There's so many things that we need to recognize and see that grace is so much more than just Him saving me. The grace of freedom falls within the forgiveness. God's grace delivers us. Sin turns us into addicts. We're slaves to sin until we are set free from sin. And how are we set free from sin? Through the sanctification process and the forgiveness that we have, the grace that we receive because of the forgiveness, that we have freedom from sin. You agree? God's grace breaks all bondages. It breaks every chain that holds you back. I know that there are some of you that can testify to that. You know, you have expressed that, said, this had a hold of me in my life. And God help me, because it's broken. It no longer controls me. It no longer dictates what I have to do. You've experienced the freedom, the grace of freedom. That falls under forgiveness. That we are set free from the bondage of sin and we no longer have to be under its submission. God's grace is so much better than that. The power of His grace says, no, I will not allow that. Because you are forgiven, you are sanctified. You no longer have to live under that curse anymore. The fifth thing that we need to recognize is provisional or enablement grace. Through His provision, God provides all our needs. That's what provision. Provisional is providing. As James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Every good and perfect gift is from Him. Because of what? Because of what? His grace. And because of the provisions that He's given us, it enables us to have more things, to do things better, to go further than what we could before, because we're not doing it on our own. You know, if you have provisions, food provisions, you know, and you're on a camping trip, and you go out and you're camping and you're hiking, those provisions enable you to go longer and stay out there longer and camp longer and enjoy and have fun, right? So the provisions that He gives us enables us to go further than what we could ever do on our own. Because every good and perfect gift is from Him. The gifts that have been placed in you are there for a reason. They're to enable you to do what you can never do on your own. So many people in this world use their talents and say, this is what I've done. But because of God, there's that common grace. He's given everyone the ability. You know, every person that's in a band, you know, that's famous singer, God gave them that ability because of His grace. And we pray that one day they recognize that and turn it and use it for the glory of God. He causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust, the sinner, the saint. He gives us all the abilities and the talents and the things that we need in this life to make it through it, to live for Him because of His provisions. So provision, enablement work, and enablement work together, both those graces. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, And in this writing that he wrote, it's glory to God for His grace. You know, how many have seen above a section of Scripture, the bold words, sometimes it gives, you know, kind of a brief overview of what that section of Scripture is about. And it's glory to God for His grace. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. We need to thank Jesus that He has enabled us and has had given us grace and shown the grace that we need to be able to do the things that we do in our ministries. You know, all the ministry is for Him, but we all have certain areas that we operate in the ministries. You know, Jeff plays guitar. He's more than just a guitar player. He ministers through song. He sings. You know, Kim and Amber, they're not just up there singing, they're ministering. God has given them that ability, has enabled them to be able to do that, so that way they can advance in the kingdom and they can bring more into the kingdom because of their abilities. That's ministry. As a team, we're up there trying to bring the presence of God, to invite His presence into the place through worship, because that's what God wants from us. He wants corporate worship. He wants us all to be able to come to Him, because we come before Him in worship. That's what moves Him. That's what He wants from us, is us to surrender. What is worship? For us to surrender in song and say, God, everything I have is because of You. Every ability, every gift, a good job that I was given, everything is because of You, because of Your grace. Miraculous grace is number 6. And based out of Acts 6:8, you know, we got to look at what's happening in the early church. And Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. Stephen, a man full of what? Full of what? Tell me. Full of what? Full of grace and power. I'm sorry. When I start saying, the version I have is grace. Yeah, see, I'm reading in the New King James Version. But that's okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to confuse you. It's like, okay, faith. He was full of grace and power. And because of the grace that He's given us, enables us to do miraculous works. You agree? You understand what I'm saying? So you have miraculous grace. All these things that we don't often see and recognize are because of varying graces that God's given us. Grace upon grace. He's already given us grace and given us more grace and extended more grace. And each of these graces is what we need to recognize in our daily life, what we need to be able to see. Through His grace, God still does miraculous things every day. He doesn't have to do this. He does it because He's full of what? Anybody? Grace. Hey, you can say faith too. It's okay. Number 7 is serving grace. Every believer is freely given spiritual gifts to serve others and bolster their faith. And we see that in 1 Peter 4:10. And it tells us, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We each receive serving grace. So He has given us grace to serve. Grace to serve. Every gift, whatever gift you have received because of grace, you need to use to serve others. Number 8 is sustaining grace. I'll get it out there. Sustaining grace. Finally, in those times of trial and suffering, Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, we know the story of Paul that you know, it was, hey, he asked three times to have this thorn removed. And God said, "My grace is sufficient. My grace is good enough no matter what you've got going in your life." What was that thorn? Don't know. Couldn't tell you. Doesn't really say. But it's something that was really bothering him. The Bible says also, "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So these scriptures point out that this is a sustaining grace. This is what gets us through. This is what holds us to know that we are going to make it through it. That His grace is sufficient and His power is made perfect through my weakness. Because on my own, I'm weak. There's nothing I can do. And like it said in Hebrews 4, that we need to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we receive mercy and may find grace in the time, that we may find grace to help in the time of need. Grace. There's so many different ways we need to see it and we need to recognize it. You know, when you're going through a hard time in your life and you're struggling with something, and you say, "God, you need to get this out of my life, because I can't take it anymore." Know that His grace will get you through it. It's good enough. With whatever it is you might be struggling with, that you will make it through it. And that He will be our help in a time of need. We need to lean on grace. We need to understand grace and know that it is always there. Always there. Now, what is it about grace that we need to understand? That grace is at work. Grace is always at work. Acts 4:33. The NIV says, "With great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them." God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. What was at work in them? God's grace. Powerfully. God's grace is at work to do what? What is the reason for this grace? So that way we can become more like Him. We can become more who He created us to be, to fulfill what He created us to be, who He created us to be. Because sin changes us. The person struggling with that sin, that's not who they are. They're who God called them to be. They're just not hearing it right now. That's why we need to understand we extend grace. We don't want to get angry with people because they don't hear the word, because they don't receive the word. Because if we continue with grace, they will recognize and see the grace. The grace will change them. It's not up to us to change the people. It's a grace that we give. The grace that God gives to them. Because how else are they going to see it? But through us. That's why we need to understand and grasp love and grace with people. So oftentimes, we don't even give grace to our own body, the own people in our church. So many times, somebody does something and we want to get angry about it and shut them out. If we can't give grace among ourselves, how are we going to give it to the world? I'm not saying everybody's like that and it's like that all the time, but I've seen it at times. And to see a church that operates in grace would be an awesome thing. I don't know if I've ever seen a grace fully operating in church. But I believe it can. I believe it can. Because there's so many times that we see churches stumble and fall and struggle, and people leave churches because they were hurt. Maybe grace wasn't extended to them. Maybe grace wasn't extended to you at some point, so you were hurt. But know that God's grace is always there. It's always sufficient. Sin leaves us lame, weak, and unable. But God's grace intervenes to give us power and strength. It gives us that ability to do what we're called to do, but we were never able to do on our own. God's grace is not a commodity, something that you use just for your advantage. God's grace is a changing thing that changes you in your life, that forms you into what God's calling you to be. It's troubling to think that so many times Christians have misused grace, that they've lost the real meaning. That as Christians, we over-concern ourselves with the fast food meanings. My prayer is, as it says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, that God is able to make all grace abound to you, that all things at all times, in all things at all times, having that you need, you will abound in every good work. That God's grace abounds to you. It's God's grace that should fuel our love for Him, that fuels our service in our ministry. Grace is a way to introduce God to the world, because grace frames love in such a fashion that it reveals God's character more fully to all who are willing to hear it. Where do I find grace? It's helpful to know what grace looks like. When we know what it looks like, we can find it. When we recognize the common grace, salvation, the redemptive power, the forgiveness, the freedom, the enablement and the provisions that He's given us. You know, all these things that we need to recognize, how we're able to be sustained because of grace, how we're able to serve because of grace. Because if you don't know how to access it, you find yourself discouraged. Stand under the fountains of grace. Stand under the fountains of grace. Find the fountains of grace. What is that? It could be participating in the worship service, being part of a group that has Bible study. You know, I believe there's coming the day soon where we'll have small groups. Being part of a small group, connecting with people. Make personal time for prayer and devotion. Seek counsel from ones that you know are mature in Christ. That's where we find the fountains of grace. That's where we see, just like with along a walking trail, there's water fountains that are there to refresh you, to fill you. Find those fountains of grace along your path that fill you, that change you, that shows you acceptance and love, compassion. Because they're there. And when you find those fountains, relish them. Take time in them. Allow God to show what His grace is in your life. God is a loving, kind, and merciful God, and He's with us. His grace is enormous. I'm not sure we could ever fully understand how deep, wide, you know the song, Deep and Wide? We'll never fully understand how deep and wide His grace is. But we can recognize how He offers it to us. Through each of these ways, these are just a few ways. There's so many more ways God extends His grace to us. And I want to challenge you this morning to seek and try to recognize the areas where God has extended grace in your life. And take those moments, learn, grow, allow God's grace to change you into what He's wanting you to be. Because I'm not there yet. God's grace is still working in me. I need it. Might say I need it more than any of you guys. I don't know. But I need His grace. I desire His grace. I think it's important that we try to recognize and understand His grace so it keeps things in perspective for us. Look for His grace. Accept His grace. Live in His grace. Because He's extending it to you. Bow your heads this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. Your wonderful grace. Lord, that we can come to You as one of Your children and talk to You, commune with You, fellowship with You because of Your grace. If you're here this morning and you've never experienced His grace, I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, that you've never allowed His grace to become part of who you are. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That the only way that we can reach the Father is through Jesus Christ. And the grace and the love that He has for us and extended to us, that all you have to do is believe in your heart that He died for your sins and He was raised again to be at the right hand of the Father. And confess that, and believe it in your heart, that through the grace you are saved. And if you're here this morning and you can say that, I've never done that, if you just slip your hand up. You know, I don't want to embarrass anybody. I just I want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity and knows that they are a child of God. Because so many times we can think, oh, everybody is, but someone might have said, I've never done that. I've just been here. So I don't want to give anyone and miss the opportunity for anyone to accept Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you want someone just to pray with you that you haven't really understood His grace and received the fullness of His grace and what it really means in your life, that you can say, I'm saved and I've given my life to God, but I've never let the grace operate in me. You can come this morning. And it's not anything that I'm doing or me praying, but it's me agreeing with you that you are open to the grace of God, to recognize where He is operating in your life, where He's trying to get your attention and show you His love. I will be up here. I'll be around for a little while after we close. Know that there are myself or there will be other people here that can pray with you too. God loves you. God's grace is so awesome and so great that it is at work. God's grace is at work for you to bring us into the fullness of Christ. Lord, I thank You for Your word this morning. Again, I thank You for Your grace and the things that You've done for us, the compassion and the mercy that You have. Lord, we count it all to grace. We thank You for grace. We thank You for Your grace and the many types of grace You have shown us. Lord, we bless Your name this morning. And Lord, I declare that Your word and the seed of Your word holds fast in Your people this morning. Lord, that it is not stolen. It is protected. And Lord, that whenever You see fit, Lord, that it is planted and cultivated. Because You are the one that does the work. You are the one that changes Your people. Lord, we love You. I just want to ask that each of you just lift your hands for a moment and tell God that you love Him. I know I do this every time I get up here, but I think it's important that as a body, we tell Him that we love Him. We just take a moment to say thank You and we love You. And all this is for Your glory. In Jesus' name.